Open your Bibles, if you got them, to Joshua chapter number 5. How many of you remember any of the items that the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt and the slaves, they were making them eat there? Anybody remember when they talked about wanting to go back at one time? Remember what the type of meal that they were talking about that they ate?
Leeks.
What else? Onions. Garlic. Now think about that a minute. I mean, that was slave food. I mean, if somebody tonight had ate that, you couldn't sit on the other side of the pew close to them. Every time they turn and say something to you, it'd knock you down. Can you imagine being around people and when they was eating all the time and having to talk and imagine the smell that come from their mouth and so forth, how miserable it was. And remember when they got aggravated, they talked about wanting to go back. Go back and get some of that good stuff. That old leeks and garlics and onions. I'll get back to that here in a little bit, but stay with me in chapter 5. Begin reading with me. Now, Joshua has come across. They've come across Jordan. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in any of them anymore because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of their foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after that they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with what? Milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people that had abode in their places in the camp, till they were a whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And that means rolling, that where God had rolled the reproach of Egypt away. Verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at the evening of the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after that they had eaten the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Tonight I want to share with you a thought about God. And the other day we preached from the book of Joshua, and I told you that Joshua is a type of types and shadows. The salvation is seen When God hid Israel behind the doors in Egypt, and he hid them behind the blood, and they applied the blood. And when the death angel came, he passed over them. Then he brought them to the Red Sea, and he took them across the Red Sea. And he destroyed the enemies of Pharaoh and his armies in the Red Sea. And of course, you know the story, how that he went into the wilderness, and he crossed over and went to Kadesh Barnea. Then they crossed over into the Canaan land, right here where Joshua was. And they sent 12 spies over in there to spy it out. You know the story and what he's talking about here. 10 of the 12 men came back and said, there's no way we can conquer this, even though they came back carrying a cluster of grapes, and it took 2 men to carry 1 cluster of grapes. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey, and fruits, was very fertile. But the multitude, and there was 2,000 or 3,000, a million of them, probably is the estimation, they listened to the 10 instead of the 2, Caleb and Joshua. So God told that any man of war that was over 20 years old would die in the wilderness before they could go into the land of promise, and none of them would ever get to go. And they would go round and round and round for 40 years. They would go round. Now, I told you the other day, the wilderness was a type of being saved, but not being and living up to the potential that God wants you to live. You're living a defeated Christian life. You're murmuring, you're complaining, you all have all these issues all the time. And besides that, you go round and round and round, you get nowhere. And yet God is keeping his promises by giving you water and feeding you and doing those things. And if you read the story, you know that he allowed them to have the same pair of shoes for 40 years without them wearing out. Now, you ladies, how would you like to have that bargain? Sell shoes. You can wear them for 40 years. And so I guess the guys would probably like that better than the women would. But he made their shoes to last. Why? Because he provided for them. And you know, God, even to his children, even with times when we don't have, when we're in places where we need something, in his mercy and grace, he provides for us sometimes even when we're not living the way we ought to live, doing the things we ought to do. For 40 years, he had a bunch of murmuring, complaining people of God. They complained and murmured about everything. They wanted to get rid of Moses and get somebody else that would lead them back into Egypt. They want to go back to Egypt where they could eat the leeks and the garlics and the onions. How foolish. So God provided for them for 40 years. Now they had come out here, and they come into the land of Canaan, and they crossed over, and God had miraculously dried up Jordan as he did the Red Sea and let them cross over and come into the land. All the kings were about to faint. God did something to test the faith of Joshua. Here, his men of war. Now, you got to remember, the Bible explains this. Circumcision in the Bible, let me say this for those who may not know it. Circumcision was a sign between God and Israel. You hear me? Some people said, preacher, I believe we ought to circumcise our children. The only reason why you ought to circumcise your children is if you think it's a healthy thing, not because it is a scriptural thing. Circumcision is not laid upon your children. It was a sign between Israel and God, and it separated them. Any strangers that came into the camp to become permanent members of the camp of Israel, they had to be circumcised. But what had happened was, for 40 years, this group of saved people of God went round and round because of their unbelief, not believing that God could take them into the land of Canaan. And they went round and round and round. And so, little by little, thousands by thousands of them died. And soon, everybody that had been circumcised in Egypt, when God commanded them to be circumcised, was dead, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. And so all the new men of war were young men of war, and they'd never been circumcised. So God said, before we do anything else, he told Moses, I want you to have them circumcised, or Joshua. And so here, they circumcised the men. Now, why did this test his faith? Here he was in a foreign land, had all these enemies going to come at him, and the first thing he did was take his soldiers and put them out of commission for about 3 or 4 days. They couldn't fight after being circumcised. And so here, they had to trust God. Now, let me back up and say something else. When you go to Genesis chapter 12, verse number 7, God promised Abraham this land. Now, stay with me a minute. He promised Abraham and his descendants this land. He told Abraham exactly where the land is going to be. We talk about where Israel claims. It's even farther than what Israel claims today. Right now, the battle in the Middle East between the Arabs and Israel is over this land that we're talking about. They claim it was Abraham's land given to him and it should belong to Ishmael descendants, which the Arabs are. And the Jew says it belongs to Isaac. And we know that Isaac was a chosen son. But now stay with me a minute, and I want you to think about this just a moment. Joshua and all the people are there standing on the banks on the edge of Canaan because of the faithfulness of God. He promised Abraham hundreds of years ago. And what he did was he took and Abraham didn't have a son. He gave Abraham a son when Abraham was about 100 years old. His name was Isaac. Then if you remember, he told him to go up and to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Remember that? And you know what God did? He provided a ram right in the nick of time because he was faithful in promising this land to Abraham's descendants. Had Isaac been killed, his descendants would not have got it. But yet God took Isaac and he used him and he showed and he used him for a type, and he also tried Abraham, but he was showing his faithfulness to his promise. So then Isaac went and had Jacob and Esau. Jacob was given the promise that he would inherit that land, and he would be the heir from Abraham. And what happened was Jacob took things in his own hands. He could have messed it up again, and Esau was going to kill him. God took him into another land, and God brought him back, and him and Esau, there was a peace about him, and Esau didn't try to kill him at that time. And you know why? Because God was still faithful to his word that he gave Abraham. Then you find that Jacob had all these sons, 12 of them, by 4 different women. But he had Joseph. And Joseph, through Joseph, was committed this land. But yet again, his brothers took him and sold him in slavery. He could have been killed. He could have had all those things except one thing. God is faithful. And God took him all the way through and through all the slavery to the Midianites, and he brought him into Egypt and he rose him up to be the second in command of everything in Egypt. And you know the story. 430 years, the children of Israel, there was a Pharaoh that rose up that didn't know Joseph. Joseph's bones was there. He made them promise they would take them out when they come into this land. You know why he knew that he was coming into the land? Because God is faithful to his promises. And so what happened was, they turned Israel into slaves. Then Israel began to cry out to God, and God sent Moses to lead the children out. You know the story of how he led them out, and you know the story how God had to keep sending plagues upon plagues upon plagues. But you know why he got them out? Because he had a place that he had for them to go. You know why? When God promises something, he's faithful. We don't understand how he's going to go about doing it, but he does it. Then we find that God took and he had Moses lead them for 40 years. And he used Moses in a mighty way. And you know how he gave Moses the Ten Commandments and how he had Moses to strike the rock and bring forth water and give water to him, and how Moses intervened several times. And then you know the second time when Moses was aggravated to people, he was supposed to go speak to the rock to get water, and he went out and hit it with his rod. Now, some people think that's not a big deal, but God said it was a big deal. He said, now you're going to die, and you can't go over to into the land of Canaan. He said, I'm going to let you see over there, but I'm not going to let you go over there. The reason why is, the perfect type of Jesus is, he only had to be slain one time. The rest of the time, if you want water from Jesus, you speak to him. And when you call upon him, water comes forth out of the rock. And he gives a thirsty soul what he's craving. Now, then we find that he raised up Joshua and brought Joshua there. So picture this, hundreds of years. He made a promise to one man. God never, ever forgot the promise.
Right. Amen.
And so when they got there, he said, I want all your people to circumcise themselves to understand, or all the men of war to understand, you're my people. Then he had them do a Passover. They took and they celebrated the Passover. Now they hadn't, it doesn't mention much about them doing that at all in 40 years. But what God did was he made them stop and remember how God brought them out. How that night, they weren't there, but their fathers were. And that night behind those doors, when wailings was going all across Egypt and people was, the firstborn was dying, everywhere the blood was not applied, they was reminded how that they were God's special people and they were brought out. And so, and they were reminded how that he brought them there and how they got there to that place. So now we got there. If you look back in your Bibles, the Bible says in verse 11, they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And then look in verse 12. I preached on this before, but in a different way. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. This is after the Passover. They never had manna anymore. Now, when you read about the manna, what it was Jesus described it as a type of himself in John chapter 6. What happened was when they came out of Egypt. Now, what was it they was eating in Egypt? Garlic, onions, leeks, and old carp fish. Any of you ever eat carp? Now, some people likes carp. You've ate it at Lakeland? Lakeland might have ate it. But carp is not much of a fish to eat. Now, there are some people that can fix it fairly well. But carp was an old fish. Out of the Nile River, a lot of times, it was a fish that was fed to the slaves. So picture this a moment. In the world, when they were slaves and in bondage, they were eating this meal. Now, God had saved them, brought them out, and then he took them into the land, or into the wilderness, and he took them over to Kadesh Barnea to go into the land that he had promised Abraham. Now picture this a minute. I want you to get this. How many of you ever gone through Kroger or a place like that and they have little samples of food? Any ever get something that's good? Anybody ever go back for seconds? Thirds? A sample is just that. It gives you a sample of what it tastes like. Now, also, we go sometimes to restaurants. How many of you ever get appetizers? Appetizers? An appetizer is supposed to be something that whets your appetite for what's to come, the main dish. And there's to be a main dish coming. I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me a minute. And so what happened was the children of Israel, and just a few days after they got into the wilderness, they went straight to this little point called Kadesh Barnea. They crossed over and they went into Canaan. And when they went over there, the 12 spies, they brought all this fruit back with them. And they talked about a land flowing with milk and honey. And they brought back samples. They thought were samples. What they didn't realize, they shouldn't have been samples. They should have been appetizers. It was a sign of what was going to come. But they'd lost sight of that. And so picture this. Here they come out, and because they were weak Christians that was not learning to, or weak people of God, I'll call them Christians just for the sake of it, that hadn't learned to depend upon God, hadn't had their faith to exercise, to trust God, and hadn't learned to have the joy and peace and all the things that comes when you get to a victorious Christian life. And that's what Canaan is, by the way, I talked about the other day. But what they did was they went into the wilderness, and when they rejected the appetizer, and God said, this is what I've got you to eat. Now you've been eating all this junk as a slave. Now look what you can have. Now imagine that. Imagine going from a time when you was a slave and you ate all this stuff like leeks and garlics and onions and your breath stunk and you couldn't stand to be around people. And imagine how that worked out through your sweat and all the things. And now you come to a place and God said, this is the land I'm going to give you. And they brought back all this food. Now in the wilderness, there wasn't more food. As a matter of fact, there wasn't even no water. They come to a thing of water, and it was bitter. And remember how God had Moses cast a tree into it, and it became sweet? And so there, they got over there, and God gave them a sample and let them see what an appetizer it was, and they should have wanted to go get it. I mean, think what a change. And so what happened was this. They rejected, didn't have faith to trust God. And so for 40 years, as I said, God made them go round and round and round. Then they didn't have any food. So God said, I'm going to send you manna, bread from heaven, angel's food. Now, whatever you want to say, that's where the idea of angel food cake come from, by the way. And so it was a little light, white bread. It would fall every morning. Now stay with me a minute. I want you to get this part of it. It would fall every morning, and all they did was go out and pick it up. By night, it would rot away. Then they go out next morning, it was there again. Now God provided this manna. This manna that God provided sustained them. It gave them everything they needed to have life. Had God not sent bread from heaven, they would not have had life. But God sent bread down from heaven. And so every day, now picture this. I think I read somewhere, it was I don't want to say for sure. Seemed like it was 13,000 days or something. I don't remember how many days it ended up being. But however many days, every day, every morning. Now on the Sabbath day, he would give you enough the day before to do on the sixth day and seventh day both, because you didn't have to go pick it up on Sabbath day. So for 40 years, they go out there and God would provide for them. You know why? Because he's faithful even when we're not real faithful. Now stay with me a minute. I'm gonna get to something in just a minute. And then I'm going to close. What it was, now picture this a minute. God was faithful to give them this. And you know what they did? They complained about it. Now it was a far cry from what they had as a slave. But you know what they want to do? Go back. Give us that good stuff. They forgot what they had over there. It was no picnic over there. And this manna was not meant, to give them a great supply of food that was tasty, pleasant, and where they could just enjoy the meals. That was not what it was all about. It was to sustain them as they went through the wilderness. There's a lot of Christians that forgot what they was eating when they were unsaved. And they've forgotten how God has provided for them and took care of them, even though they didn't deserve it, because he's faithful. He's promised. But now look here. But what he's told us to do is this. He says, this is not where I want you to stay. I just give you this to sustain you and provide for you like I promised. He said, but when you get over there, you get milk and honey and grapes and all the things that it brings. And so what they'd done had, they had gotten over to the land of Canaan. Now, let me get to this point and then I'll close. It's simple and it's not real difficult. But when they got over here, it was a different story. The fruit was so much better. Can you imagine after 40 years? Now they did get mad and they cried for some flesh. Go give us some good old flesh. We used to set that old flesh pot in Egypt. God said, okay, here's some quail. While it's in their mouth, he said, go ahead and choke to death on it. They didn't appreciate the fact that he was there every day of their life. When they needed water, he gave them water in extraordinary ways. When he gave them something, when they needed something to eat, he met their needs in extraordinary ways. How many of you has God met your needs in extraordinary ways? Even sometimes when you didn't deserve it. But now look here. Now what he wanted them to get the meal. And he said, listen, look what you get to eat now. 40 years of whining and complaining. Now, Linda, they get to go and they get to eat the good stuff. But, listen to me right here. This is where I want to get. It didn't come free. Fruit, you had to tend to. You had to take seeds and plant. You had to harvest. What you had to do was, you had to work. If you wanted to enjoy the good stuff that God had to provide for you, the good meal, you had to work for it. He wasn't just going to drop it to you every day. But it was going to be so much better. Somebody said, oh boy, that manna must have been the best stuff ever was. It wasn't meant to be that good stuff. It was meant to sustain their life.
What was good was waiting in Canaan. And he done gave them a sample of it. He said, this is the appetizer. This is what you can eat. You just got to go over there. And they said, no, thanks, but we don't want it. And so for 40 years, now their children are over there. And so God starts them. He said, now you get the good stuff. But now you got to have a different type of faith to get the good stuff. You've got to trust me. He says, so first thing I want you to do, Joshua, I want you to circumcise all your soldiers. Put them out of commission. And Joshua had to trust him. Then he said, you're going to get to eat all this land. But first you're going to have to go out here and fight some battles. And you're going to have battles the rest of the time you're in here. But don't worry, they're my battles. But you got to have a different type of faith to fight these battles. But if you have the faith to fight battles, listen, you're going to have to face people that don't like you. You're going to have to face things that people are going to say mean things about you. Sometimes God's going to ask you to do things you don't want to do. Sometimes you get tired of doing what God's asked you to do. But you got to keep doing it because you have to have patience when you go over there and you go to eat the good stuff, because when you plant it, it takes a while for it to come up. God's not going to drop it every day like he'd been doing for 40 years. But the stuff you get now is so much better. Some people never knows the taste and the joy of the fruit of Canaan. The fruit of the Spirit, peace, love, joy, gentleness, all those things. They've never tasted it. They don't know how they enjoy. And if they ever did, and what they do is they walk around here. And God's provided for them every day, and he gives them what they need, and they're not even thankful for it. They don't even appreciate where it comes from. They don't even appreciate what God's done for them. And every day, all their life, they go round and round. But they never have got to the place where they have any joy and never able to enjoy the fruits of Canaan land. And you know what? Half the time they do, I'll just go on back to where I was. I'll just quit and go back. My friend, isn't it a shame that they had that? But listen, if you get it, you have to work. You have to fight. But you get to enjoy something that many people never got to enjoy. And that's what Canaan's all about. Enjoying the fruits that God has intended for you. It's promises that he made all along. And he secured it all the way through and made sure it was going to be there. But you have to go get it. But you have to have a better faith, a bigger faith. Once you leave this place, go there, you have to trust God. And you can't see your way, you just got to trust God in those things. And God's able to do it, amen. Let's stand tonight and get a song. And I know a lot went a long way around to get to it, but what I wanted you to understand is this. Wouldn't it be a shame? Have you ever thought about those people? For 40 years, they all died in the wilderness. And they never got to know, other than just they got one little sample when they got into the wood. They never got to know what it was like to go into the land flowing with milk and honey. And I was thinking, as I was studying on this, so many people are saved, and they'll go all their saved life defeated, never knowing what it's like to enjoy the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. What a shame, amen. Brother Porter.